Welcome to the 117th Monkey on My Back podcast. Read the blog at momcomics.com and leave us comments and contributions at momcast@gmail.com. Tonight on the pod, we catch up after our Christmas breaks, talk about some new comics, and in the spotlight, Jane talks about Hilda and the Midnight Giant. I'm Cass, the comic book podcast that's already failed in all its resolutions. Around the mic tonight are...
Hello, I'm Jane.
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hello, I'm Robot James.
Ah!
That was really... That's gonna pop.
Is it?
Probably, I don't
Sorry.
Know.
I
no,
popped.
It's fine.
Embarrassing.
Do you remember...
The time
when
we first met,
when your sofa collapsed underneath me during
a
show.
Oh, happy days.
And you swore blind that I must have broken it and made me feel really guilty.
Yeah. It was a futon.
That was a long time ago, and we've drawn a line under 2009 and 2010.
Futon.
And 2011.
A futon is like a sofa that you put in soup.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That what it's like? So what have you been up to, James? Has anything happened to you over the last few weeks? Or you, Jane?
I don't know whether
Christmas
it's me
happened.
Or you now.
Yay, Christmas.
Oh, you really threw me then. I feel giddy, sick, and a little bit...
That's how I felt over most of Christmas, yeah. To be honest.
I had a lovely Christmas. It was very nice. It was very peaceful, very holy. And I got loads of really good booty. It was lovely.
Did your... beautiful child know what was going on this year?
She had a lovely time. She really got into opening presents and stuff. I don't think she can understand the concept of Christmas yet, but she understands the concept of taking paper off stuff and having something cool underneath it.
The dogs felt roughly the same way about their presents.
Our dogs get really nonplussed by being given presents. One of them kind of eventually opens it, the other one just looks at it, puts it on the floor and walks off.
We always get ours these rawhide, because you know they like the rawhide stuff.
Yeah.
The little one, the way she reacts to the rawhide bones, because she really likes them, is she goes off and starts chewing on hers as quickly as possible. The big one, the way she reacts to the rawhide bones, because she really likes them, is she gets stressed out, she's worried that you'll take it away from her. She runs around the whole house trying to find somewhere to put it. She cries a little bit more, and then eventually, after working herself up into a real state, she just throws it into the middle of the floor where the little dog can see it, and then growls at the little dog whenever the little dog goes anywhere near it. She still hasn't eaten her rawhide bone, because we had to take it away, because she gets too stressed.
Whoa,
that's weird, isn't
that's
it?
That's fantastic.
And if they reflect their parent, if they reflect their owners, our children are probably going to be exactly the same.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Something to look forward to.
Do rawhide bones give your dogs awful wind?
No.
All right.
But I should let one of you say more about your holiday before I tell you about something intestine related to do with my dogs and Christmas. It's also to do with genre stuff, though, geeky stuff. So,
all right.
So what else happened to you? Did you have a good New Year's Eve thing?
I had a lovely New Year's. I spent it with two very nice friends. And we kind of acted like it wasn't New Year, and it made it my best New Year's ever.
Did you just, leave your wife at home? Or?
No. Two friends and obviously my wife. They came round my house and we watched... you might know them, actually. If I say their names, you might know them. Life Partner Steve and Jane.
I've heard of them. I am aware of them.
And we watched Joe Cornish's excellent Attack the Block.
Oh, that is a good
Which
film.
Is awesome,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is very
I believe
good.
You tweeted about it, Jane.
I did, because just as we finished watching it, all the fireworks went off at midnight, and it was like, ooh, alien invasion.
It's a bit more of a proper film than really you expect it to be.
It's an excellent proper film.
You expect it to be
it's
jokey,
really good.
And it isn't.
I think it's very clever. I don't think it's a massively original story, but I think the characterisations in it are really clever.
It's entirely influenced by John Carpenter's oeuvre.
Yeah.
Attack on Precinct 13 and The Thing, I think, maybe a little bit. But, no, maybe not The Thing, but yeah.
Attack on Precinct 13.
I thought the settings and characterisations in it are really clever.
You like them?
Yes, very much.
You end up liking them, even though they're horrible, oiky chaps.
Horrible anti-heroes. I think it's fantastic. Mm. And it was good, and because it was a special occasion, I even made dessert. I cooked, but I don't normally make a dessert, but I made a dessert.
What was the dessert?
Profiteroles.
And chocolate sauce.
And chocolate sauce. Made the
chocolate
amazing.
Sauce from scratch.
Are you making the profiteroles we saw you at some point? Or different, was a
different,
different
profiteroles, yeah. Oh. And actually, I used a strong bread flour this time, and they were strong flour, and they were much better.
Really nice. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, good. Well, that's,
I did a lot of making that. Over Christmas.
But that's good. That's a good housewifey thing
it
to
is
do.
A good housewifey
did you have
thing.
An apron? I can't remember if you had an apron.
I didn't.
I got an apron for Christmas. It's a Wonder Woman one.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Is it like the pretend, you mean it's got the logo
no,
on?
No, it's
or
actually
it's
got Wonder
her
Woman.
Outfit? Oh,
no, it's
brilliant.
Got Wonder Woman on it and it says Wonder Woman.
I'm totally not asking you the question I'd ask you if we weren't doing the podcast.
Is it? But when you say it's got her on it, do you mean it's got
it's
a
got
big, picture,
full picture
of her?
Yeah, big picture of Wonder
so
Woman.
So it isn't like as if
if I'm
you
yeah
were her.
No.
Oh, do you do the washing up in the nuddy just wearing that?
God, do you do washing up in just an apron?
No, I have washed up naked before.
Was that the question you wouldn't ask her?
Yeah, I thought I'd just ask.
No,
it.
Why would I do that?
The listener, would you like to paint a word picture of that?
You don't have. Don't
I'm
do
thinking
that,
of Ryan, Jane. Really. Oh.
I don't. Do you have? Did you have a good other things, Christmas and everything, Jane?
Yes.
Did you? You got lots of nice things.
I did.
And did you have a good New Year's Eve?
I did.
You didn't have to put up with any obnoxious personalities.
I was not putting up anymore. It's kind of background noise, so it's fine. Yes, I had a lovely Christmas. I got a Wonder Woman T-shirt to go with my Wonder Woman.
Oh, nice. I got, and I don't know if you've seen these, I think the only... I got a scarf, a handmade scarf by my... wife, she made that, and I got it's like a t-shirt of Chloe Noonan, Mark Ellerby's character, which was very, very nice. I'm very grateful to whoever got me that.
Becky Cloonan, the Mark Ellerby story.
Yes, yeah. Becky Cloonan, the Mark Ellerby story. Did I? I didn't say that, did I? I said Chloe Noonan.
Are we doing what we got? I didn't.
We don't have to.
Well,
no.
I got quite a few comics. So I was just gonna.
I want to do what I got. You say what you got, and then I'll do what I got, and then you can do what you got.
Okay. Just comic related, not everything else or everything.
I'm talking about my friggin' onesie. Oh, okay. It's going to happen.
I got so spoiled this year. Really did. Got loads of awesome presents. Obviously, from Nick and Amy, I got a round twist, which I'm so excited about.
Oh, yeah.
And people already want to borrow it from me. I've mentioned it. Going, oh, can I borrow that? No.
We were at someone else's house and they'd got it from someone else as well.
I think it's only recently come out on DVD, but loads like The Sopranos, The Office, loads of amazing DVDs. But comic book wise, I got my spotlight book, Hilda and the Midnight Giant, Rumble Strip by Woodrow Phoenix. Wonder Woman The Circle by Gail Simone. Coco Be Good by Jen Wang.
Oh, that's brilliant. I love that.
I Never Liked You by Chester Brown. And Birch Real Close by John McNaught, which is another No Brown book.
Who bought you I Never Liked You?
My brother did. But it's been on my Amazon wish list for ages. And his friend said, is that really what she wants? He went, well, it's the top of her wish list. And it's
Kelly the Dildo.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it's Chester Brown. It's a self, you know, it's a self-referential story about him growing in his teen years, and it's really. Oh, I will be spotlighting. It's a really excellent book.
Just he makes all of the people we know look like they love themselves. Chester Brown does, doesn't he? He's so self-loathing. He even makes James.
He really does,
look
actually.
Positive and perky.
It's, and it's his interaction with a girl that he likes, but. Yeah, I won't spoil it, but it was a really, really good book, and I Never Liked You doesn't sound as bad as it should do for the title. But yes, yeah, got loads of comics, and that's the comics I got. I got Firefly and Serenity, I guess they're comic book related things.
Those are good. They are very good. I don't remember most of what I got my lovely t-shirt. We got some nice, we got a jar of gingerbread and jar of... like chili stuff, like
chili stuff,
chili
like
sauce.
You'd spread it on something.
It's lovely.
The gingerbread biscuits didn't last very long in my household.
No, not in our house either.
And
double gingerbread.
Life partner Steve pointed out with the sleighs, if you turned it up, it looked like a race circuit. The icing around the edge, which was quite interesting. It doubled up as two different things.
At least I bothered icing them. Double ginger. It was double ginger.
The self-loathing
here.
What's
wrong with him?
Saying,
we're
really
the stuff we got
in fact,
from him.
It was like, out of all the Christmas food, yours was the first that got eaten up first. So.
I'm quite pleased with the batch of chilli jam this year. It's quite zingy.
We haven't.
It's too late. You've already started bringing us down, James.
Oh, sorry.
There, it is really nice, Jane. It's as nice a batch as last year.
Oh, good.
If that's even
Looking
possible.
Looking forward to that.
If you'd like biscuits and chilli jam for Christmas, just become a close friend of mine.
it's a reward for
putting up with
becoming
me.
A close friend. Which
I got Time Trumpet from you guys, didn't I? I love that program and I watched through all of that. That's good, but I loved it anyway. And this time, my wife even managed to stomach the whole series through the rape and ape. Point, which was the point that upset her quite a lot last time. She's like, well, it's just mean, isn't it? But it's satire and she just obviously didn't understand. And I got Justified, the first season of that, which is just brilliant. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. And Band of Brothers.
Oh, I got Band of Brothers. And Pacific as well.
Is the Pacific.
Pacific. Not specific.
It's about a particular sea.
Yeah, and that was good. But we haven't watched Band of Brothers yet because we only recently watched it all the way through. I didn't get that much comic-y stuff. But one thing we did get, and this is where that story comes in. Yeah. On New Year's Eve, what we did was we ran around to try and find, because we got a £50 cheque from my grandfather-in-law. We decided to treat ourselves to the Game of Thrones board game.
Oh, yes.
Which is £50. It's like quite expensive. Mm. And it's, but then we opened it up and it was amazing. And we played a couple of games with the two of us. But we decided that's not really what it's designed for. So we decided to play it with some friends on New Year's Eve. And they came over. Mm. And so we just did it like a normal, nice evening as well. Mm. So we were playing Game of Thrones and it was all going very, very well, and there are these amazing little pieces and some of them are like shaped like little soldiers and some of them are shaped like little knights and some of them are shaped like ships. They're like a really simple child's
ships or chips.
Ships. Like a child's shaped thing. Mm. And the little dog Willow, she got up onto my wife's lap and she was being very good and then suddenly she just swept her head around. And when her head had, and she ruffled these pieces aside, and when she'd moved, there was a piece missing, one of the ships, and she swallowed it straight. We tried to get it out of her mouth. She swallowed it straight down. And since then, I have basically been following her around the garden every time she goes for a toilet, and having to
poke it with a stick.
Because it was a very small. Piece of the board game. So I have to go in there a bit deeper than that. So I've been having to sieve through dog. That's how I've seen 2012 in. My defining thing that I have been doing this year that I haven't been doing in previous years is rooting through dog poo.
Shit sieving.
Yes, and every time my wife goes to work, I get a text from her saying, oh, did the ship arrive? Did it appear?
No. Ship.
And we can't afford to, they're like, the game is quite expensive and you can't just buy the pieces. But at the same time, you want to make sure she's, you know, cleared it. So we've had a trip to the vets and all of that stuff, and it's just, we just have to wait.
How detrimental to the game is that you've lost this piece? Does it affect the game?
Could you make it?
We'll be able to come up with something to replace it. That's not too
Could
much
you not
of
use
problem.
The ship for Monopoly?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But we can come up with something, but it's still,
we could really subvert it. Use the dog from Monopoly as it was a dog that stole the piece that was missing.
We hadn't thought of that. We should do that. Yeah. I don't know if we've got Monopoly.
Oh, I've got actually. I've got Southampton.
Can we
Monopoly.
Have your
no?
Oh, okay. But yeah, so that's one thing I've been doing. Oh, and also on that night we ended up watching Anchorman, which my wife and I hadn't seen.
I love that
before.
Film.
I love it. It's amazing. I don't know how we didn't ever see it. It might be my favourite Steve Carell,
Will Ferrell, Steve Carell, of course,
as well. And like people always say, oh, he just does the same thing all the time, but he's so different in that film. He's so sweet and stupid. I love him. It's just so good. And then of course we ended up watching a little bit of who's that guy? You know that guy who looks like he just wants to be
Shaft.
Dead. Jules Holland.
Oh, did you watch that?
Ooh. Only a little bit. We didn't watch very much.
We watched Jake Humphreys looking really sad and alone, yeah, even though he was surrounded by people.
Is he the man who, the young man, the yeah, young lanky man?
He was doing the BBC, and he looked like, and they were all doing the crossy arms, old lang syne thing, and he just looked the like, loneliest man on the planet. It was really funny.
Well, he basically has to try and find people to talk to who yeah, aren't going to be completely tedious, and every single one of them yeah, has exactly the same stories yeah, as every other year,
and he's got to find someone at midnight in London on New Year's Eve that isn't just going to shout wanker down the microphone, as I would in that position.
Can you imagine watching those fireworks when you're actually there? Because I think it'd be terrifying for about the mm, first 2 or 3 minutes, mm, and then a little bit exciting, yeah, and then boring.
Yeah, they went on for a long
time. They really did.
I did a London New Year once in my mm, life, and it was one of the coldest, most boring, stressful evenings of my life.
I did a lovely Trafalgar Square one year, but it was like, but that was, yeah, I couldn't handle mm, that. It's just too long. It's the music. It's like they got a wedding DJ
yeah,
to do the music. Yeah. It's dreadful.
New Year's is tedious. I don't like it at all.
Well, but we all had a good one. Yeah. What were your presents, James? You had one you wanted to talk about.
My favourite is my wife bought me an adult onesie, and I have found new levels of bedtime comfort in my onesie. It's just, it's red and purple striped, and it's just the most comfortable thing
where's
in the world.
Where's the zip?
It zips from groin to neck.
But so the zip is right on your groin?
It's just above my pubic area.
So if you, okay, so it doesn't, you it doesn't stick in if you rub yourself against
you,
things?
No, and you can unzip it far enough.
Like the corner of a table or something.
You can unzip it enough so you can get everything out for a wee-wee.
Oh, yeah, God. Well, that's good. Yeah. Oh. But you have to unzip the whole thing to do
that. You have to unzip the whole thing, but that's fine, because obviously you've got the arms in.
Does that not sound funny to you, him unzipping all the way down, showing his bare chest while he's weird?
It sounds like the most hilariously upsetting thing I've ever heard in my life.
I've got a lovely manly hairy chest. Look how lovely nice, it is. Look,
I've
look
told
at
you about
it.
Mine, that there's, yeah, there's an arrow pointing up to my face. Yeah.
Go and look at the hair, Jane. She looked at the hair. Actually, she got to see my belly yesterday. I felt that was a guilty.
You're doing 90s stereotypical gay man, so I suppose that's
I was doing
to,
a pose with a nice necklace. And also, nice friends bought me things. Nice friend Nick bought me the American Splendor Anthology, which is lovely. And nice life partner Jane and Steve, might have got that the wrong way around, bought me Buckaroo Banzai. And they bought me the Sergio Aragonés Mad book, which is a retrospective of his career, and they bought me David Wynne's guitar wielding Batman, and I think you got
that's
me someone else
cool.
No, that's cool.
That was all quite cool, but you didn't do the full title of Buckaroo Banzai, and that's wrong.
I can't remember which his adventures
like in
the something dimension.
The fifth dimension or
no,
something
it's not.
Like
it's like
that.
The eighth Six, dimension, eighth, isn't it, or
something?
Something
like that.
I know.
Have you watched it yet?
Yeah. He's batshit crazy.
I remember
film,
it being batshit crazy when I saw it a long time ago.
John Lithgow is just sublime in it, though.
Sublime.
Yeah, sublime. That's the character name, sublime. Sublime. I know. I believe sublime. That's the voice he does.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
Are we ready to move on past this?
Yeah, I'm
this
trying to think
about it.
Got a monkey hat.
I did get a monkey hat. Yeah, I got a monkey hat.
What? How does that present itself? Is it like a hat? No, it's like the Wonder Woman thing. I'm trying to work out. Is it like a hat that's a full body of a monkey?
No, it's a monkey's head.
And it goes on top as if you've taken a monkey's head off.
So if I did it at least once, pulled my coat up to my forehead, it just looks like I'm a monkey.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
What would have been, you kind of missed a trick. Whoever bought the onesie could have coincided with the person who bought the monkey hat, so that the onesie was actually one that was the same colour and you could zip it.
It was the same person.
Actually,
they should have done a better job.
Discussing your presents with David Wynne before you had them, he suggested that it should have been in a Batman uniform.
The onesie? Well,
yeah.
I have suggested
and the hat
to,
as well.
I suggested to my wife I'd like a new one for my birthday, which is soon. Save up
a new onesie.
Yeah, so I want a second one. So Jamesmas, so I can get them in washing rotation properly. Because at the moment I'm having to, obviously you need to wash it every sort of 7, 8, or 9 weeks.
You wear it every night, yeah.
Yeah,
and you don't really wear underwear underneath it. So 7, 8, or 9 weeks. If it's only in the evenings, though, that's fine because people don't sweat or excrete anything in the evenings.
Yeah, I've discovered. Yeah.
Are you not worried that it will have worn through by your birthday?
I am a little bit. It's so comfortable. It's lovely. It's like, I love the fact that Jane comes round on a Wednesday night, but I really resented the fact that she delayed me putting my onesie on last night.
Does it hug
your
finger?
Did you use it as a threat at one point?
I'm concerned we should move on in a minute, but this really does demand a bit more exploration. So does it cling? Is it quite figure hugging?
When it's first come out of the wash, it does, but it slackens off after the wear.
I can see where it's probably gonna wear through in about four or five different spots, all in roughly the same.
It'll be around my testicles. That's where everything always goes. No, it's always my nuts.
Buttock will. Yeah, but most trousers don't hug as much as that presumably will.
It's not that huggy.
Is it not?
There's a little bit of give in it. I'm convinced it'd be my testicles where everything always seems to wear.
Me too. It's terrible. Yeah,
just like my soul. It's worn at my testicles.
Do you two want to talk about what comics we managed to get hold of over the break?
I'll do that in the spinning orders bit.
No, that's what I'm...
Oh, is that what you're doing? Is it me first?
It's me first. Oh, okay. I just want to know if you two have finished talking about the holidays.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Nick. We have finished.
This is going well.
We're always very good at this. Either I forget to forget what we're supposed to do in what order.
You're segueing like a frigging pro.
Comics did come in today, apparently. I didn't manage to get any at lunchtime, and neither did either of you, did you?
No.
So your comics are from last...
I'd like 3 weeks worth of stuff to pick up. It cost me about 35 quid to pick up the stuff.
No one wants to know your sob story. Just answer the question.
Yes.
Okay, and mine are from literally last week. If I'd thought about it, I would have included the activity in my little pile of books, because that was great. But we did mention it on the end of the year thing by Nathan Edmondson, and I'm not sure who else is doing that, but it's great. I got 4 books this week. I got I got Greenwake. Actually, I think most of my books... I didn't get any of the mainstream stuff from DC or Marvel, but I did get Spaceman number 3 from Vertigo, which continues lovely. Did you not get it?
No, I don't think it's in my spinning order. I'm an idiot.
Oh, it was really good. Stuff's hotting up as well. Because what's interesting at this point, Azzarello and Risso, always brilliant. The writing's brilliant. The art is brilliant. But basically, we're not on the boat anymore. We're back in the intrigue of what's going on back home. I won't go into too much detail because obviously you haven't read it yet. But it turns out that in trying to hide the famous kidnapped girl, our hero, whose name escapes me at the moment, but might not actually be that good at picking safe places to hide her. And that's all I'm really going to go into detail. It's more ridiculous than anything else.
Okay.
Greenwake... is at roughly the same stage of the second arc that I started getting a bit confused in the first arc. I think we're heading towards the end, and I maybe need to go back and read the whole arc from the beginning again, because there's a lot of... we're on issue... See, I've bagged all of my comics up.
And boarded.
Yes. I've been trying to get on top of these piles of comics. I'm still on D.
You shouldn't. They look very unstable.
But you've got a lot of comics. You've done a lot so far.
Well, this. Thank you. But I mean, and you're right. But this is Daredevil, so there's an awful lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Of Daredevil.
D and S is going to be a horrible one for you
and
as
then
well.
X as well. No, S is going to be worse than X. Yeah. Actually, it's dreadful. And B was most of the Batmans. That's why that.
I'm being encouraging. Trying to help you motivate.
I'm trying to bring you down the way James did.
No, I'm trying to motivate you. You're doing really well, Nick. Continue the good work.
I will. I'll
was
get
that
on that.
Bullshit.
Like, you sounded like Nanny Plum.
Oh, did I? Oh, no, that's good. She is in Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom.
Mm. Is that a children's programme?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't seen that. So Greenwake is on part 4 of the second story. It doesn't have the number on the back, which is strange. And yeah, I think I need to go back and reread. This was the point where I decided, well, at the end of this arc, I'm going to jump off in the first arc. And then the final couple of parts completely pulled everything together and stuff. So Curtis Weeb is still writing a really peculiar and interesting story that could be a bit more clear, but I guess he's trying to go for this dreamlike quality. Riley Rossmo's art is amazing, though. It continues to be amazing. Witch Doctor, I wasn't expecting this, but the Witch Doctor, The Resuscitation, is a one-shot following on from the series that...
Yeah, I got confused when I saw that. Cause the cover is amazing. It really just... I was just like, whoa, what's that?
Quite grotesque as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and I got really confused then. I was like, oh, is this just one left on the shelf? I didn't know. So I think I'm going to pick that up. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm glad you clarified
it. It isn't entirely clear what it is, I think. Maybe it was advertised. Well, it would have been advertised. I just think it completely passed me by. It's Brandon Seifert and Lucas Kettner, who are the team who are on the main book as well. And it takes place after the first series. It kind of stands alone. It's about a guy who thinks that he has had... he wakes up in a bath of ice with a scar where his kidney would be. He assumes that he has had his an organ removed by organ people, organ thieves. Mm. But it turns out a bit weirder than that, even.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm waggling my head in a weird way.
He's had an organ put in.
I will let people read it, but it's like interesting because it's funny and it's grotesque. And I hadn't made the connection till just now because I haven't seen the Sherlock. The Sherlock that aired, but I've heard a lot of the furore about the fact that Irene Adler is this sort of sexy and intelligent like foil to Sherlock. Similar sort of thing happens. A character gets introduced in the Witch in this issue of Witch Doctor Who is kind of similar, which is interesting and fun. And the Cape number 3, story based on a Joe Hill short story written by. I'm going to find his name because these guys are doing such a good job. I really should get their proper names. Jason Ciaramella, with art by Zach Howard and colours by Nelson Daniel. The Cape is it's number 3 from IDW, and it's the story of a guy who realises that he can fly, or he finds a cape from his childhood, but he's basically an arsehole. And he's a real arsehole. And this issue starts off kind of... Up till now, he's basically hurt. He's basically damaged his ex-girlfriend, who he thought was cheating on him, or at least thought was being disloyal. He's attacked his brother, who he thought she was being disloyal with. Actually, they were just worried about him. That's why they were meeting up with each other. Up till now, it's been quite a small scale thing. In this issue, he shows exactly how much damage being an arsehole can be on a much bigger scale, and I don't really want to go into more detail than that. It's written really well, but not a lot happens in each issue, so you get a bit of character interaction. Yeah. But like, I think as far as the writing goes, you're going to see how really good it is when all of the issues are put together. But the art is just amazing, really clear, and dropping bits of paper all over the place. Really clear, and there's a lot of use of tones in it that I really like. That sort of the dots, the zip tone, I think they're called, which is really good and makes it look really interesting.
Like Liechtenstein.
Kind of. That's what Liechtenstein was basing it on. But it's kind of you stopped seeing it quite so much when people started doing computer colouring and computer inking, but now there are a few artists, including Ashley Wood and people like that, who are using it a little bit more, and it's good. I like it. I don't know what the technical term for it is, but it gives a really interesting look to a book. And that's me.
Thank you, Nick.
In the corner.
That's me in the corner. I did read a couple of other books that I got over Christmas, but I don't want to talk about them right now.
No.
They hurt me.
He doesn't want to talk about it.
I'll talk about a small selection of books that I picked up. £35 worth of books I picked up yesterday.
You love all of them?
All that I've read, I enjoyed, and I've brought those with me. I haven't read everything, so I didn't have time yesterday. From the pages of The Boys, which I love.
You love The Boys.
I do very much. Was issue 6 of Butcher, Baker, Candlestick Maker, which is essentially Butcher's origin, which was lovely. I enjoyed it. It ends on a lovely sick note. Something happens to a dead man who deserved it to happen to them.
They're already dead, though.
They are, yeah. Oh. But it's typical Ennis stuff. It's great. Next is from Jason Aaron and Steve Dillon, issue 20 of Punisher Max, which I hadn't read. Just lovely, dark, grim stuff. Now I know this is going to come to some conclusion. You kind of feel like you know where it's going to go. But I love how dark and dysfunctional and fucked up he's made Frank Castle.
Mm.
You know, he makes him feel like a man who's living with sort of double survivor's guilt.
And, yeah.
And just whose moral compass has completely gone haywire, you know, living by his own code. It's just so vicious, so brutal.
Is that Elektra on the cover?
Yes, his confrontation with Elektra is electrifying.
Oh, is the Max? Is the version of Elektra? Because they're different versions of all of the characters, aren't they? Yeah. We talked about it before.
It's a Punisher Max version.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so but she's good, yeah.
Very, very good. I'm enjoying this so much. It took me a while to warm to it. In a way, I think he's made a darker, moodier, more disturbed Frank Castle than I think I've read anywhere, including in Ennis's run. It's really cool.
I know you said Frank Castle, but I heard Frank Carson then.
Yeah, Frank Carson.
Jane even remembers who Frank Carson is.
And it's the way he kills them.
It's the way he kills them.
It's the way I kill them, is what he says. Thank you very much. I'm so happy I started picking up The Amazing Spider-Man, because issue 676 is just lovely, lovely fun.
I read that as well. Yeah,
Dan Slott. It's the Sinister Six versus the Intelligentsia.
Mm.
And it's just such silly fun, isn't it? Really lovely character interaction, especially between Sandman and the Rhino. Their sort of their moments together are lovely. But the rejuvenated, not rejuvenated, the risen Doc Ock.
He's a bloody mess.
He is a mess, isn't he? He's not looking good, is he? Although I still think he looks a little bit better than MODOK, whose crazy contraption he chips up to kill. My favourite moment being, what's his name? I forget the dude's name. But this being a Marvel book, it's all very handily in the front for me. Red Ghost.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
No, I'd never heard of before.
But this sort of teleportation machine that MODOK's created is powered by one of Red Ghost's apes.
Mm.
And I like as MODOK is demonstrating the machine to the Intelligentsia, Red Ghost is very, very concerned about the health of his ape.
Yeah,
because it's only made possible by the power of my magnetically charged super ape. Of course it is. It's awesome.
So you didn't feel. Because some people might, having just started reading the book, you didn't feel like disappointed or shortchanged by the fact that it's basically a whole fill-in. Well, it's not a fill-in issue, but Spider-Man isn't in it at all, is he?
No, it's awesome. Yeah. Really good fun, really enjoyable comic. Lovely sort of throwback storytelling, and I mean that in a positive way. Mm. And I even love the fact that there's speech bubbles on the cover. It's just so much
and
fun.
I think it's setting up. It's basically reminding you who all of those characters are, because it's gonna be a big deal in the next few issues, isn't it?
But it's just such a breath of fresh air. It's lovely. Marvel number seven. Here comes Daredevil, the Man Without Fear number seven, which was a seasonal tale.
Yeah, it's like another self-contained story, isn't
it? It is. Same as it's Matt Murdock is taking some disadvantaged kids out for a Christmas break when things go horribly wrong in the snow.
Oh, don't spoil it. I'm still going to read it.
And Daredevil learns a seasonal lesson.
He does.
And it's good. Good stuff.
I think the suggestion is that he does that every year, doesn't it? But I guess he might not have done it when he was possessed by a demon.
He had a year off last year during the excellent Shadowland.
It's quite a nice story. Everyone in it learns a nice seasonal lesson.
They
don't
do,
they?
Don't they? It's very. It's just
there's
a nice
bit of a thing about bullying in there as well.
There is. Yeah, I learned and grew.
Mm. You grew.
Yeah, a little bit. It's my onesie. It's so comfortable. I was wearing my onesie when I was reading it.
I bet you wear it whenever there's you're not going to have a visitor.
Yeah, pretty much.
Basically, any time you can, you just get
as
in.
Soon as I go in tonight, I will say hello.
Do you
hello.
Wear it under your clothes and then just take your clothes off like Superman?
Well, no, because you know I haven't, because I've shown you my chest
you might
on
have
a couple
it unzipped,
of occasions.
Because we know how far the zip goes.
No,
I'm
as you come through the door, do you shout, "Darling wife, are we going to have callers this evening?" And if she says no, you just strip naked, walk straight into her.
Just leave her clothes on the floor for her to pick up.
Exactly.
And then you come back in, the dogs have ripped them to shreds.
Yeah. Oh, totes, totes.
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 You're not in your 20s, hipster boy.
Totes.
What was that? Oh, totes, man.
Omg.
Zomg.
Zonk. Zoink. That's
Zoink.
That's very 70s.
Yeah.
That's what I say when I'm nibbling on my Scooby snacks. Mm. The final comic book offering that I'll talk about that I picked up, that I should have picked up earlier and I didn't, but I have now, is from DC Comics. It's a one-shot priced at $6.99.
Bloody blimey.
Thanks for that, DC. Batman Incorporated. Leviathan Strikes.
Are we back? Oh, no, it's a one-shot.
Yeah, it's
you
a one-shot.
Beginning.
Apparently it'll be concluded at some point.
How much
year.
Of that is story pages?
Not enough of it for my money.
No. Did they foist a bunch of back matter?
Yarp.
Oh, okay.
Yarp.
It's two Yarp. Stories. One drawn by Cameron Stewart, the other by Chris Burnham. All of it written by Chris Morrison.
Chris Morrison.
The story.
The
story
does
about
the songs.
Yeah, that's right. Grant Morrison. There's a really weird juxtaposition. It's one story drawn by Stewart, then the next, the basically the concluding story written by Burnham. There's a really heavy juxtaposition between the two art styles. The one drawn by Stewart is set in a girls' school and features Stephanie Brown, which is, I guess, why they chose Cameron Stewart, because he does draw a very attractive female figure, doesn't he? And Mr. Pig's in it, which is very cool.
He's creepy, I don't like him.
He is creepy, although he doesn't look quite so creepy for some reason when Cameron Stewart draws him. He's got a lovely art style. Burnham's are very much like, it's very reminiscent of Frank Quitely, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And has the same, the second story has the same sort of frenetic style that the best of this series had.
Mm.
Also has a reveal at the end, we find out who Leviathan is. A reveal that very much makes it feel like Morrison's run on Batman's come full circle. Problem being, it's 6 months since the last one came out. DC's rebooted the universe.
Does it?
And it
yeah,
just
that's an interesting question, though. Which universe does it fit in with?
It says at the beginning, these events took place before Flashpoint and the new DC 52. And unfortunately, because of that, it just feels like it loses a bit of its gravitas, and I can't help feeling like that because I'm reading books in continuity at the moment, and I know I've often said, "Oh, I'm not a continuity junkie," but
just a story.
Yeah, I think the problem is that these books work really well. Morrison's done a really good job of writing really good serial stories, and they don't feel like they work brilliantly collected because they're cliffhangers at the end and. Mm.
It is weird, like a giant size one shot thing such a long time after, and then you know there's more to come, and
it just wasn't as satisfactory as I it didn't pay off in the way that I really would like this series to, although the reveal is cool, and if you've been into Morrison's run on Batman for the past few years, it was kind of
Of course, Jane.
Yeah, of course.
I think that's what we can take away from what James just said.
Yeah.
Not really brilliant value for $7, though.
We had quite an interesting conversation about it this morning on the way to work.
Yeah, and I effed and jeffed when I was buying it as well.
It is a bit much. Did you not know it was going to be...
No, I knew, because James spoiled it for me when we were doing the live one.
How much it was going to cost?
Yeah.
Key-ha! What is it good for?
Talking about comics.
Hello monkeys, Kia here. And today I am reviewing Black Hawk the Intergalactic Gladiator. Black Hawk was a black slave who became a centurion of an auxiliary century in the Roman army, at least within the pages of Tornado Comics. Very much a sort of innovative tactic of the week kind of writing, although he sort of encounters Nero, fights against Boudicca, fights against the Germans on the Rhine, is involved in the fall of Masada, and all manner of historical adventures. Then, as was the way in those times, when Tornado as a comic failed, it got folded into 2000 AD. Rather than generally Jerry Finley Day of Road Trooper fame, who'd been writing it, it was taken up by Alan Grant, and it became, for want of a better term, science fictionized. It became a story about Black Hawk kidnapped by aliens fighting in an intergalactic arena. Then later on that changed again, as Space Pirates led to his arena being dragged into a black hole, and it took a much more fantasy feel as he became a man seeking his lost soul. With very heavy sort of Moorcock influences, with a sort of encountering a demon sword, etc. The artwork was originally an historical Tornado strip done by Alfonso Aspiri, which is a very pretty kind of line work. You can see sort of a little bit of Cam Kennedy in it, maybe. And the historical details seem fine to me. Although I do wish they'd make up their mind whether he was in charge of a century or a legion, because they're different things. But never mind, it was written for kids. When we get into the science fiction stuff, the majority of the art duties are done by Massimo Bellardinelli, Aho says, hopefully pronouncing it correctly. And the artwork's awesome. It's completely Baroque craziness. He brings to manner life all manner of completely whacked out aliens with a lovely page. It would be great to see him draw something Lovecraftian. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. The story is very much in both incarnations high octane, page turner of the week stuff. There's themes that run through, but there's not a great amount of fibre here, but it's for a 2000 AD phone book worth of the stuff. It's a very entertaining read. It's interesting to see Alan Grant in his first script writing duties. And the artwork, as I say, is gorgeous, particularly in the science fiction stuff. The end of Black Hawk is left open-ended, but thankfully, unlike the abortive efforts to resurrect Rogue Trooper, nobody's gone near it, and maybe that's the best thing. But I think it's a lovely book, and it was money well spent, so I would recommend it. And that's Keith Harr from Dissecting Worlds, signing out. Thanks, monkeys.
Should we talk about news?
Yeah, first up, though, we should probably do a little bit of a thank you as well, because, you know, the last show we did was our live review show, which I think all three of us and John enjoyed a great deal.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, obviously, thank you to everyone who turned up, but I think a special thank you particularly to Steve and James from FP, who kind of were the two guys who really made it possible.
Yeah, thank
you. Took time out of their busy schedules.
Yeah, they totally did.
To do it all for us.
Yeah, obviously, thank you to all the guys at FP for having us.
Yes.
But yeah, particularly to Steve, the manager, and James, who we talk about a great deal on here, who made it happen.
Yeah, but you know, having him there in the room with us,
really handy, I thought.
It was, yeah.
We kept referring to him if you've listened to it. But we really enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll do it again in the not-too-distant future.
Yes, it was very good, and hopefully they would like us to do something like that again.
Yeah.
So we'll have to try and work out a time when people can actually turn up.
Yeah, if we do, we'd love to see you. It was great. Obviously, Mike Giorgio was there. He came down to thank you, Mike.
Lovely.
Really appreciate you making
a
trip.
So
he's superb.
Sweet.
He is.
I had to dash off afterwards, and I felt quite guilty.
Me and life partner Steve walked him back to the train station. He was very, very good company. I do hope he comes to Southampton again, and not just for a pod.
It was, yes, it was nice. It was nice going, having a bit of a drink with a few of the people afterwards as well. That was good.
Mm.
David was down, obviously. Mm. So thank you for him for always
David.
Coming to our aid when we need him.
Yes, thank you.
And we did have at least two people who hopefully are listening now who didn't know about us before. So I don't remember. I don't think I ever knew their names. But thank you. You were at the back and we talked to you on Twitter and you were great.
Yeah,
they were good.
Really appreciate it. It's good. I'm now going to fill for time while I quickly check Twitter.
Oh,
so we
find out their names. Okay.
When you say I'm now going to fill for time while
Kit.
You mean we have
Kit.
To fill
yeah,
for
I thought
time.
It was Kit. Kit. His lovely girlfriend slash wife, we're not sure. They got amazing sketches from David as well. They look very happy with them. So,
But thank you. It was nice to see you guys, and hopefully more of you will be able to come next time.
Hopefully you're listening now.
Yeah, and I'm not, won't be shitting bricks quite as much as I was.
It was easy, wasn't it? It was fine.
It was great. I really enjoyed it in the end. I was bricking myself beforehand. And you were nervous when you found out I'd had 2 pints.
That was my most nerve-wracking moment, was finding out James had 2 pints, because he just doesn't give a shit sometimes. After a couple, he's just like reckless, and you're a reckless energy. And I love that about you.
Yeah.
But it was a free variable that was a bit...
My filters really go when I'm drunk. It's awful. Yeah, that's why I tend not to drink very much.
Have you listened back to the show?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Okay, so the bit where you exposed yourself to everyone.
I know, and there was crying and people leaving. And
I must have blanked that even when I listened to it.
I edited it out, thinking about it.
But I have got some actual news.
Oh, okay, what's the actual news?
First one we should do is congratulate our friends Ian Sharman and David Wynn.
Hooray!
The excellent Hypergirl has won Comixology's favourite digital debut comic series.
Yay.
So well done, guys. It's well deserved.
Congratulations. Is it debut or debut?
Debut.
Okay.
And keep your eyes peeled debut. For more debut. Hypergirl this year. Second piece of news, which is really just a sort of a point in the right direction, via George Beedham, is go and check out www.firelightisle.com, which is a original graphic novel that Paul Duffield of Freak Angels fame is putting together. He explains about it on the site, but he's basically going to be posting progress of it as he does it. He says it could take him 10 years to complete, but it is not Kickstarter, but
Indiegogo, the other one.
Indiegogo, so you can sponsor it should you wish.
I believe Paul Duffield's UK, so you can't do Kickstarter.
But it looks gorgeous. I recommend going and have a look at the site. There's no pages up yet, but there's some concept stuff up there. He's talking, so get on it as it starts.
Get on that.
Looks like it's going to be beautiful.
His art is amazing.
Yes, it is. Also, voting has started for the Eagle Awards.
It's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the voting for the nominations for the nominations.
Yeah.
Huh?
There's a list of nominations.
Yeah.
But then you have to vote people onto the short list to be nominated.
Yeah, it's voting for the short list. It's very if your name is Timothy Swan.
We love you.
Thank you for writing in Mom Comics in favourite comic based.
That's really sweet. Oh. Yeah. Thank you.
So you can vote for Mom Comics, you don't even have to write the website in. There's no favourite podcast. But thanks, Tim. That's ever so lovely of you to do that.
It is. I had a bit of a pang when I was going through doing mine, because I was thinking, well, there isn't a podcast thing, is there?
No.
So I think, and if there was a podcast, definitely if it was for ones that record on a Thursday night, especially ones recorded in the south of England, specifically a little bit north of the Isle of Wight, then I definitely think we deserve to be nominated.
Yes.
But because it's website comic related, we don't really do enough on the site.
I don't know. I think there's some
John
interesting.
John does loads of awesome stuff on there.
There's interesting and original work going up there
and
by
the
John.
Twitter comic as well. Actually, no.
It's okay.
I should have put it down as
well. I think we do different stuff on there. I think we're different from your run of the mill average review site.
And we're not just crowding your RSS feeds or your Twitter feed with stuff all the time.
Yeah.
No,
we're very selective. And I've done my resolution. I'm going to do a piece a week. I'm going to try to do a review a week.
I don't really believe in resolutions.
Don't you?
No.
You contrary prick.
What else, James? You hadn't finished talking about the Eagle nominations. I kind of jumped.
No, I had.
Oh,
I've done mine. Have you all done yours?
No. I need to think about it.
Mm.
It's going to take me at least an hour, I think.
To think about.
I'm going to overthink everything I put in there, then go back and change it, and then go back and put it to how I had originally.
Then, Do you want to see mine? Just copy mine?
No.
Okay.
I found I was surprised by what I was voting for.
That, yes. I think I will be too.
Do you want me to read out my noms?
No.
I'm not going to either.
No, I wouldn't. Ages.
I was hoping you'd say yes and I could go no.
No. Yeah, no, okay, I do want you to.
No.
Oh, why don't you want to read out your noms? Are they between you and your you and the ballot box?
You and my conscience. Between me and my conscience.
You and the ballot box. Yeah. Just you remember, if you do any like voting for like the Lib Dems or something, you'll be responsible for what we end up with. It's exactly like that.
Do you mean Orangutan Comics are going to form a coalition with DC?
I don't know. It's impossible to know, but you just have to be aware of this stuff because... Whatever we vote for in this, that's the sort of comics we're going to get until the next Eagle.
I did have a conversation with David and Ian on Twitter, though, that it would be nice if there was a more concentrated awards thing on that concentrated properly on Brit comics that was set up in a way that 2000 AD couldn't win every single category. That'd be nice. And they suggested it at Thought Bubble, but they didn't say nothing about it.
The Eagle thing was a bit weird. And there were lots of... I don't think the nomination, the shortlist nomination-y things were quite right. There were lots of double entries and stuff.
Weird. Definitely.
Double entries.
Well, I do think there is room in the UK for an awards that recognises and celebrates the comics industry, both professional and small press indie in this country, because there's a lovely, vibrant scene in this country that should be celebrated, not denigrated.
No.
Who's denigrating it? Aside from Mark Miller.
No one in particular.
Oh, okay. I was just checking. Have we got any other news?
Jane's got a bit of news.
Yep. The story that was on Bleeding Cool this week, Women in Comics, it's come up again. This time, Diamond Comic Distributors.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, have you? Mm. They control everything.
They do.
Yeah. They're the Illuminati of comics.
They're pushing in-store comic book shop promotions to coincide with IDW's release of the Womenthology. It's causing controversy because they're promoting female creator titles. They're promoting. A lot of people are very straight down line about this. It seems to be people aren't liking it because you're like, well, just because it's written by a woman doesn't mean as a woman I'm going to enjoy it. I think it's a very unclear message of what this is supposed to be about. Mm. Is it supposed to be about promoting more women in comics or more women readers? Or it just seems to be a thing that's happening and it's leaving people a little bit cold.
Mm. God damn it, you women are never happy.
A lot of people sort of, yeah, so there's a bit of divide in it. I personally have mixed feelings too, because I think it's a really good thing to be promoting this, because with the we've had with the Cabal Comic Con and in general in comics recently, it's becoming up more and more how female creators aren't getting as much notice, or female, you know, women in the comics industry aren't treated as equals when it comes to their male
counterparts.
I just want it all to be equal. I just want men and women to be like exactly women. The same.
Basically it should be a meritocracy rather than a
I appreciate what they're trying to do. They're trying to get more exposure, more promotion, and get it out a bit more that women are involved in this.
No, I agree. Women really should definitely get it out more.
Oh, James!
And what? That they they're really good at this, and they're there, and you know. But at the same time, just I sort of think it's but. I don't buy a comic just because it's written by a woman or it's got female lead. Okay, in some books, obviously Catwoman completely aside, a female as a natural, because there's absolutely no way in herself I can relate to her. There's a natural, you know, that you will relate to a comic book character, regardless of its gender, but obviously as a natural thing, you're going to relate more to a girl than you are to a guy.
If you're a girl.
Yeah, if you're a girl and vice versa, or, you know, whatever your preference is, you know, it's a natural thing for you to do. So that side of things is there's that there. But to me, I'm just like, everything should just be the same. Write a good story.
There's kind of, it feels like every time there's an event or something like that, it gets away from, it's like you're having a party without actually doing anything about. Female creators don't necessarily need to get a big anthology and a big event once every year or so. What they need is just to be treated equally.
Yeah,
and like,
just be given the same.
They need DC and Marvel.
The fundamental rules, you know, they just be given the same opportunities, because there's nothing that they, you know, there's nothing that a man can do that a woman can't do. Obviously, physiology aside.
Why would you want to piss standing up?
It's really convenient. It's convenient. You can do both. But obviously, physiology aside, there should be just the equal across the board. If you can do a good job, then you're the person for the job. Regardless of age, gender, anything. Mm. If you can do it, you should be able
to. I intend to buy it, because if nothing else, it'd be good for the comic buying community to send a message to publishers as much as anything that we will buy. I almost think it's like a risk averse thing. We get the impression that the publishers think that we won't buy it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a male dominated market as well, unfortunately.
Mm. It also makes you think, what if they did this for a manthology? Mm. What would the reaction be to that? It's just.
You don't need to, because every frigging book's a manthology.
It seems so out there, and it feels like it's trying to do the right thing, but actually fundamentally is doing the reverse. Mm. So it's got good intentions.
The anthology is the one thing. But because anthologies come and go, themed anthologies are one thing, but the promotion, the kind of circus around it, I think is distracting. Yeah, I see what you mean. I think it's quite distracting.
No,
I can agree with that. I'll probably end up buying it because a decent anthology is a good thing
that's
anyway.
I will buy it on the basis of, I will look through it. Do I like the stories? Yes. Do I, you know, and you obviously have your natural favourite creators, male or female, and if there's people you like on there, then you will buy it. You'll do your usual steps. Not think, oh my god, it's all women, I can relate to that because I have a vagina too, I'm going to buy that. It just doesn't seem to cut it like that.
I've got a vagina or two. Although, positively, I mean, DC are changing. I know that it's at least, a couple of women slated to be working on the excellent-looking Watchmen 2 series. So
that's...
Oh, right. Yay, I mentioned it first. Yay.
The elephant's just peed its pants.
I don't know what to make of all of that. I've started caring less about Watchmen over the last few years, actually.
So. That's fine. Just don't buy it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of...
If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Or have a look.
So are we done talking about woman anthology?
It was just a story that broke on Bleeding Cool, and I just a lot of people on Twitter were chatting about it, and lots of male and female people just thinking, oh, this just isn't, it's just not sitting quite right. But I think there's good intentions there, but it's not being done in quite the right way.
Probably all those vaginas.
I know, all those hormones.
I wouldn't sit quite right.
You wouldn't
if you had a vagina.
I wouldn't sit quite right. I definitely wouldn't sit like this.
You wouldn't leave the house, I don't think.
No, I definitely wouldn't.
In Time Trumpet, there's a whole segment about how David Beckham gets a vagina surgically put on his arm. It's funny.
That wouldn't surprise me one little bit.
He sometimes uses it to keep his keys in and
stuff. Oh, man.
I know, it's not funny, really, is it? But yeah, the Watchmen 2 thing is peculiar, because it just, there's like this idea that Watchmen, I think the status that Watchmen has is something we should be questioning a little bit now, because it wasn't ahead of its time, it was of its time.
Yep.
It was important, and it's kind of important historically, and it is still a very well put together story, but it's all about comics at the time.
Yeah.
And it just seems like the talk about it just seems like another round of, and I know that there have been some very good books that have come out of the DC 52 and some that I really like, and there are some people who like an awful lot of them, but for those of us who were reading comics in the 90s, there is kind of a return to like the mid 90s. It's a bit of a throwback. A lot of the stuff being put out is a bit of a throwback to the mid-90s, and it's just like, well, this is all retroactive. Focusing on Watchmen is retroactive.
Yeah,
doesn't really matter if Alan Moore gets upset about it. That battle's kind of been fought, and Alan Moore uses... They weren't necessarily entirely his characters to begin with. He invented them, but they were based... That was because he couldn't use other characters.
The Claremont characters, everyone knows.
They're Charlton characters.
Claremont. I meant Charlton. Thank God I didn't say that on a podcast.
No,
I
know.
I'm an idiot myself.
Yeah. And you know, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I mean, he does brilliant things with other people's characters. And with legacy characters. But it's like, so that, I think that's a bit of a red herring.
Someone on Twitter, a very handsome, lovely man, made the point about him nicking other people's characters for League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Didn't you, Dave?
But it's just, quite aside from that, there's an issue, I think, with... We've seen what happens when people go back to their old stuff.
Yeah.
We've seen what happens when we go back to stuff that was supposed to be good. You get Dark Knight Strikes Again, which was, you know, all right, and then you get Holy Terror, which didn't even come out in it. So, do you know what I mean? And then you get this, okay, going back to the mid-90s has made us loads of money. Let's go back to the 1980s. I think it's a red herring.
Yeah.
Should be moving forward. Female creators.
There's some female creators. The sad thing is there's actually what looks like a really exciting creative team working on it, but I'm just so... I could not be less enthused for it if I tried, because it just... Tell you what, take that creative team, get them to do something new. And that would be really exciting.
But, I'll get them to do a Watchmen comic, but let them do... I mean... It doesn't really... The characters themselves have very little life outside of that original piece of work. Totally. Watchmen was a self-contained thing.
Yeah.
People get excited about archetypes like Rorschach and stuff, but Rorschach is basically the Question.
Yeah.
He's just a bit more psychotic. Yeah. All of those characters are kind of... I don't know. It just seems like it's a big deal, and if they came out, we'd see how much of a big deal they actually were after two or three iterations of them.
Yeah.
They'd probably fade a little bit, I think. Anyway... are there any more news items?
That is all the news I have for you this week.
But there is...
Is there?
A competition.
There is a competition. There is still plenty of time for you to enter the competition to win a Cinebook book given to us by our very good friends at Cinebook. It's the first edition of Orbital, which is called Ruptures. And that's Orbital, not Orbital. And it's not a completion. It's definitely a competition.
It was a brilliant tweet.
It was amazing.
And the really embarrassing thing is Cinebook retweeted it as well. I'm really ashamed of myself.
I think they retweeted my correction.
Did they? Good, thank God for that. The competition is... So you can win that. We'll send it to you free, gratis. You just need to answer a simple question, which, if you follow my Twitter feed, and maybe the Mon Comics Twitter feed as well, I will post a clue during the week as well. It's Can You Name the Creator, who's currently having books published by Cinebook, who was one of Hergé's first collaborators.
Mm.
Can you name that man? Can you name that man?
It's a man.
It's a man.
It's a Belgian man.
Of course it is. Jane?
And Google might help.
Yeah, it's quite easy, but I will post clues on my Twitter feed, so keep an eye on
that. How will people enter this competition?
They will email us at...
Momcast@gmail.com.
Jesus,
I was winding you up.
Well, he worked. I'm wound up now.
Momcast@gmail.com.
I tell you
that's
what, how about
momcast@gmail.com.
How about you do a competition? I'll muff it right up for you. We could have cut that out and just inserted it.
I've just segued from your tweet mess up, and now you've raged.
Segue right out of my life.
I don't know how that might make the podcast a bit awkward. You two are going to have to stay friends.
For
the
sake of
the
point. Anything.
You signed your name across my heart.
Don't. Because this, I mean, okay, that wasn't a Christmas song, but I heard Last Christmas a few too many times.
You can't hear Christmas songs too many times, Nick.
You can hear Last Christmas.
I love Christmas so much.
I don't understand why. How many days are there till next Christmas?
It's 8,500 and something hours. They can't go quick enough.
By the time the listener hears this, it'll be 8,000 and something minus about 4 or 5 hours.
Work it out for yourself.
Are you done on the competition, James?
Yeah, you got till the end of this month to enter, but enter, and I'll send you a book. I'm not going to make any promises to put Bacon A's or Spider-Man in it, and I will get my finger out of my backside and send it out to you quickly this time, not take months.
To clarify to the listener, he will wash his hands after doing that before sending the item.
Might do.
Hello there, Momcasters, and Happy New Year. Seeing as it's a brand new year, 2012 and all that, I thought I'd start the year with a brand new intro majigamajig. So I do hope you like the jingle. I've also got a brand new microphone, so I should sound a little better as well. Anyway, wonder what you all did over Christmas. I spent a lot of time with the family, but I also spent a lot of time looking into new comicsy things. I spent a lot of the back half of last year looking into the new DC 52, and while I have enjoyed it, and I've kept on reading a few of the titles, I am looking for some other comics titles to pick up as well. So I started looking around in some of the interest areas, and I noticed something interesting. It's always interesting when you rediscover an artist after a long, long time. And I kind of did this sort of thing over Christmas. I was looking through things, and those of you who know my artwork know that I like cute and silly stuff. And in looking through cute and silly stuff, I stumbled over the Tiny Titans title by DC. And looking over it, I thought, you know what, I really recognise this artwork. I really do, but I couldn't put my finger on where it came from. And I looked down at the artist title, and I was just bowled over. It took me back to the early 2000s, when I was first starting to look in comic shop bargain bins and the little independent sections for things that I'd not seen before. And I found the most beautiful little title, the most cute little title I had ever seen, called Patrick the Wolf Boy. It was by a guy called Art Balthazar, who now is a little bit better known for doing the Tiny Titans line. And yeah, he has just the most wonderfully cute art style. So Patrick the Wolf Boy is what I'm going to briefly talk about now, and it's going to be my recommendation for the week. I looked back and did a bit of research just before recording this, and he actually did end up publishing some collected editions even, of the Patrick the Wolf Boy strips that he did. I got the single issues that were in the comic shops at the time, but these seem to be actually trades. You can get them on Amazon, so if you just search for Patrick the Wolf Boy. Basically, it's almost a Calvin and Hobbes feel-ish, sort of, but not quite. It's about Patrick, this little boy who is basically a werewolf, so now and again he will turn into a werewolf and do all sorts of werewolfy things. He has a best friend who's a squirrel, who he chases all over the place when he's in werewolf form. And of course, there's the little friend, his friend who's a girl, who he quite fancies from time to time. His dad's quite cool, and so is his mum, and they have lots of stupid little adventures here, there, and everywhere. Sounds like me describing my comic there, but it's just adorably drawn. It's cute little storylines. At one point, I believe there's a storyline where Patrick meets the Grim Reaper, and other such things. I remember there being a few different collections, one being like a summer special, one being a Halloween special, so it was all very much themed, and I remember enjoying it a hell of a lot. So my recommendation for this part of the new year is for you all to hit up Patrick the Wolf Boy. Either get the collection from Amazon, I guarantee you won't be disappointed, or at the very least Google it. I believe Art Balthazar has some examples of the Patrick the Wolf Boy stuff on the old Patrick the Wolf Boy website, which still exists on the internet, even though it looks like it was designed at the start of the internet. But never mind. So yeah, check that out, and I hope to see you all next Momcast. Bye bye now.
Jane.
Yes.
You're going to do a spotlight, our first spotlight
of
2012.
Our first spotlight of 2012, but I'm going to first mention something which I forgot to mention in Christmases, if that's okay.
Go for it.
I bought comic books for members of my family. There are only two members, my mother and my brother. For my brother, I got him Batman Year One and Dark Knight Rises, both Batman books. He absolutely loved it. He has been getting more into he loves Batman. Mm. He's been getting more into it, and he's got all the animation, but he wanted to pick up comic books but didn't know what to get. Mm-hmm. Had sort of thought about it, and then was just completely stoked when I got them there. He's finished them and he absolutely loved them. Yeah. And he wants me to find out what he should get next, Batman wise.
That was that Year One and Dark Knight Returns.
Death in the Family.
Yeah, I think Dark it was. I can't.
No, it's fine.
I was trying to wrap my brains. And for my mother, I got.
I'm
her
not even joking. Get him Death in the Family.
Okay.
Don't get him Death in the Family.
Sharp is good.
And so if anyone on Twitter or email wants to let me know any other suggestions for Batman books.
We've already had a suggestion for Death in the Family, so you don't need to suggest that.
It's come out really nice hardback reprinting as well recently.
Sounds expensive.
We want them to keep reading comics.
We do. Any suggestions would be greatly welcomed. And for my mum, I got her How to Understand Israel in 60 Days. She loved it.
Did she?
She finished it in an evening, and it was so she couldn't believe how much Israel had and hadn't changed in since she was there in the she was there in the early 70s doing a kibbutz there. So, and she said that Sarah Glidden's description of Arab men was completely accurate. She very much enjoyed it. She really, really did like it. So that was a big thumbs up. I was very nervous when she opened it up. I was not quite sure. But yeah, she...
But she loved it.
Yeah, she absolutely loved it. So that went down really well. So I keep meaning to... I want to tell Sarah Glidden, but I'm a bit scared.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know if I can tell her in 140 characters about my mum and her enjoying this book. So.
If you use the ellipses at the end or work out some way of telling her there's more than one, just send her... Or send her an email.
I might send her an email if I can get hold of her email address. Just because my mum
enjoyed
it so much.
I think there's one on her site.
Yeah, so...
Are there any... so I guess what we're asking, Twitter, is are there any other kibbutz-based...
Israel-based or Canadian-based?
Yeah, well, what about Exit Wounds by Ruti Modan?
Yeah.
That's very good too.
Should go for that. Anything of that nature, I think my mum would
like. Kind of documentary-esque,
yeah.
Sort of reportage. Maybe not American Splendor. That might be a little bit...
Don't know.
Like,
ease her into rambling. That afterwards.
Yeah.
Because that's where it all comes from, really.
I was very pleased that I bought them and they very much enjoyed it.
So. No, that's good. I didn't introduce anyone new to comics this year.
Oh,
I'm slipping.
Balls. Technically, it was last year. That means I've got to introduce somebody else this year.
Yeah. So now you have to introduce three people.
Three?
Yep.
Oh,
targets
God.
Go up. They
yeah.
don't stay
I've
still.
Set such high standards for myself. It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Strictly speaking, every time you indoctrinate Scarlett into anything comic-y,
yeah.
You are sort of introducing her a little bit to comics, but now you're going to have to find some other children to force.
She goes to nursery. I'll just give her a comic to take the nursery.
That's that
piece
do
of
it.
Piddle.
Yeah.
Okay, I will get on my spotlight now. Thank you for indulging me.
That's okay. That's fine.
Jean, the girl they call Jean. She ignores the big and she spotlights the small. Stood up to the two and she gave them what for. A love for her now, it ain't hard to explain. The hero of Momcast, the girl they call Jean.
I'm going to talk about a Christmas present I got from my partner Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Hi Steve.
I'll see you later. He'll do the Midnight Giant. What?
Amy won't be listening, so I can't tell her to see her later.
He'll do the Midnight Giant by Luke Pearson on Nobrow Press, which is fast becoming one of my favourites at the moment for very unique comic books. The story is about a girl called Hilda, and as the cover would suggest, she's very small but also very large. So Hilda lives in a valley with her mother.
Is she a grower, not a shower?
James,
that doesn't even make any sense.
This is a children's book. We could have made this a family friendly routine.
Can I just ask before you talk about the book proper?
Yeah.
Is this like brand new?
It was only released. I think it was released in early December. It was released.
Okay, so yeah, okay.
It's
cool.
brand new. Yes, Hilda lives with her mother in a valley. This is an ordinary valley. In this valley, there are tiny elves. There are giants. There are flying, weird, sperm, hairy things.
Yeah, okay.
That's family friendly.
Well, there's nothing wrong with sperm, is there?
No, not strictly speaking. Not if it's free floating.
Or tadpole, then. I
yeah,
guess.
That's better.
Furry
yeah.
tadpoles. But I think sperm was nothing compared to what you just said, James.
If it lands anywhere specifically, I think it becomes
They're
a problem.
They're called woofs. The woofs.
Well,
yep.
That's better.
Flying woofs, then they look a little bit like teddy bears, tadpole teddy bears. So there are some, it's not the usual valley that you would go and live in, and Hilda and her mother are the only two humans that live there.
Oh.
Yep. And but they've been given eviction notices. You know, somebody wants them out of the valley, and they don't know why, and they keep getting stones thrown through their windows and angry letters left at their front door, and Hilda's had enough. She really has had enough, and she writes an angry letter back to them. It turns out part of the valley they live in, hundreds and thousands of tiny little elves live there, but they're invisible to the eye. Mm. You have to go through several consent forms grant access for you to actually see the elves.
That's right.
And one of the elves feels sorry for Hilda and her mother, because you know, he doesn't think it's fair that they're being attacked in this way.
Yeah,
well, it's a lot of bureaucracy.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and he completes all of the forms, and he introduces himself to Hilda by being in her ear, and she thinks it's an imaginary friend, and she's really excited because she's always wanted an imaginary friend, but she just didn't know where to get one from. Mm.
That's fair enough.
I think you need to have a chemical imbalance, don't you?
She's considering where she lives and the things she sees on a day-to-day basis, she's very normal. And he's filled out the forms for her, so she can now see them. And their house is in the middle of the valley with hundreds of houses everywhere, and every day they're stepping on them. But because they couldn't see them before, it didn't do any damage, but now Hilda can see them, so she should be careful. So they basically, there's a couple of stories running through this. You learn about Hilda and her mother. It's a very human story there, their relationship, and them talking about having to move from the valley to the town, but they don't want to, because they love the valley. But because of, they don't know why they're being attacked in this way. That they're really aggrieved that they have to go. It turns out there are these elves that they can't see. Hilda gets permission to see them and sees them and tries to find out why they want them out. They don't understand. Their house has been there for so long. You know, her great-great-grandfather built the house. So she doesn't understand why they want them gone. And it turns out it's a very ancient grudge that they didn't know about that the elves have against them. And they don't really know why. It's always just been passed down, but the new Prime Minister of the Elves, to get elected, decided to say that he would finally get rid of the humans and their house.
Politicians.
I know. And it turns out so Hilda wants to go and see the Prime Minister, and it turns out he just said that to get elected, but it's out of his hands. It's gone up to a higher power now, you know. It's gotten so out of control where they're really trying to get rid of them, so she has to go and find the king. And, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but she has a journey through these magical elves trying to find a king. There are, like I said, there are lots of other random things in this valley, lots of creatures that she doesn't even bat an eyelid to, apart from a giant. Mm. A giant that keeps arriving outside her window every day, every night at midnight. And every time she goes to get her mum to have a look, he disappears. And one night she jumps on one of the wolves, because the wolves fly. They sort of do a migration during the night back to where they're going to sleep. She jumps on one of the wolves, and then she manages to get onto the giant before he leaves. And she's talking to him, and it's it goes through the scale of intrusion as well, which is what I thought was quite interesting. Mm. You've got Hilda intruding on the elves, and then you find out later about giants and their intrusion on things that are smaller than them. So it's quite an interesting... Mm. Hilda gets a perspective of...
both sides of the story.
Yeah, of different scenarios of people being sort of shooed out of the valley almost. But I really don't want to spoil this bit, because it is absolutely gorgeous. I just wanted to give you a bit about what the stories are. There are lots of little things going through, but she sort of makes friends with the giant and tries to find out why he's there and keeps going, and he's waiting for his friend. But, you know, it's been a long time since he'd seen his friend, and he might have got the date wrong or the time wrong. And she's a bit like, well, you know, they've obviously not shown up, so you should just go. So, but I'm not going to spoiler it, but everything has a lovely ending in the end, as you can imagine with this.
It looks quite, I mean, his style, it's a big book.
Yeah.
In that it's, the pages are really big.
Yes,
it's
A4
like album
size.
Tintin format.
Yeah. And there's a lot of panels, and it looks quite dense as well. You say it's a children's story, but it like there's some quite complicated ideas in there that are quite interesting as well. Fabulistic.
Yes, they would be, but for a child, I think this would be absolutely delightful. I remember reading books, obviously not
You don't understand everything that's...
Exactly, yeah. But you enjoy it, and as you get older and you're reading the book again, this is something... Oh, I'm 26 and I've bought it, and I still enjoy it.
The very best children's comic books like this, though, are books that you can read as a kid, can read for the rest of your life, because there's always going to be something in it for you.
But Hilda's this... Mm. She's this lovely, you know... well-behaved but boisterous little girl, and she's interested in everything. She's not scared of anything, and she's not fearless, but she's just I was as a child, but how sort of children should be. They're not, obviously, you know, don't want to get into trouble or anything like that, but you shouldn't be afraid of things that you're not sure of, or maybe that are new to you. You should always sort of test them out.
Yeah, you should have curiosity and a spirit of adventure.
And she does, she really does, but lots of nice adult themes, grown-up themes through it, so you get Hilda's perspective on how they're intruding the elves, because the light from their windows, and obviously they're really small, so they're very loud to them, but she doesn't know. She, you know, and the same with the giants, when you learn about the giants as well, there's a similar theme there with the giants and why some of them have left the valley and things. So it was a really excellent read. I read it in about 15 minutes, then I went back and reread it afterwards. So it's absolutely... gorgeous, really gorgeous artwork. I've seen it sparked a mini sort of spat of fan art for Luke Pearson as well. Everyone wanted to get in and draw Hilda. She's such a drawable, likeable character.
It's one of those books that makes me feel really excited to look at it. I really want to own this just looking at the cover.
Yeah,
it's unbelievably gorgeous.
It's on
looking,
Lowbrow Press. I think it's available on Amazon, but Lowbrow Press is...
We'll find this.
I was going to say, it really reminds me sort of like the Moomins. Or something.
Oh, yeah.
And this isn't about channeling Tove Jansson.
Yes, yeah. It is,
also,
yeah,
the Hayao Miyazaki, when you were talking about the weird spermy things, they actually sounded like something out of Spirited Away.
Yeah,
or something
that's,
as
yeah.
Well, so.
It's a nice mishmash of different obscure children.
Luke Pearson is an extravagantly talented young man, isn't he?
Extravagantly, that's a good word.
Is.
But that's quite variety. That's a lot of variety as well, because his other book, although it had that same, the other one I did a few months back, I can't remember. Everything Must Go, I think it was.
Yeah, Everything We Miss.
Everything We Miss, that's it. Everything Must Go is something else, I think. Is similarly sort of fantastical, but is just very adult and quite depressing.
There's a lot of whimsy and pathos.
Yeah, his range of writing skills is incredible, because he's seen some of the online stuff he's done, and one of them was so funny, but it's really, really gross. And then to read this, and it's this charming story that is for all ages. It's just a sort of scale of his actual talent. So, but being a drawther as well, we're always up for drawthers.
And he's very handsome as well.
He is, and painfully shy, which we like as well.
I had a bit of a shy-off with him, a thought bubble, the year I went, where I kind of wanted to say something, and he was like, oh, big, fat, strange man, I don't know. And it was always very... But I just wanted to go, your stuff's really nice,
Luke!
Think
you'd probably seem all that fat or strange at a comic convention, really.
Well, I don't know.
Very tall.
Yeah.
He's very tall. He looks like he might sound like Ray Winston.
Oh, I really like ill stuff. Yeah. Bit 46.5.
I don't know what that's a reference to. But you like it.
I really, really enjoyed it. I'm so pleased I got it for Christmas, and everyone should get it.
It's
quite
not expensive either,
it's not,
what it is.
£11.95.
I want to put it on my Amazon wish list, but I think it's better to buy things straight from the Nobrow website.
You should get it from Nobrow, you really should. And have a look while you're on Nobrow, have a look at the other books as well, because there are some... Oh, gorgeous, gorgeous books on there. And
proof, if proof were needed, how awesome the UK indie scene is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And not mostly crap.
No, God, it's definitely not.
Are you just freely ascribing? Okay,
no,
we'll talk about that after.
No, it's not. Yeah. Nobrow is an indie publisher, so you should have a look at the other books, but you should definitely buy this Hilda and the Midnight Giant book, because it's brilliant.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
That was lovely. I actually really want that as well. James was talking about it too, so probably that's three sales from just this podcast.
And you need to get a separate copy for Scarlett.
I will.
I
will buy it for Scarlett. I should also apologise to Jane, because I did read a text message during her spotlight, which is really rude.
Would any of us have known that if you hadn't just told us?
I didn't notice.
Well, you two. All right, good.
I haven't noticed.
All right, good. So I thought I should address it because I felt really bad about it, but it's from my wife, and like when I see one from my wife, I always have a look.
Oh, you married?
Yeah. She's just grumpy. Apparently she got home and my chocolate Labrador's been puking all over the place. And he's a bit subdued, apparently.
Damn dog.
I'm a bit worried about her now.
The brown one?
Yeah, Coda.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's, I mean, you should, if it worries you, you should definitely get it checked out. I'll talk to you about a new scheme that the vets that we both go to have on, but I'll do that off the podcast.
Nikki's off tomorrow, so
because they're not sponsoring us. What are you guys doing over the next week? Do you know?
I'm going to write for momcomics.com. Mm.
Still giving out Christmas presents this
weekend. That's still happening.
And I still have some for you guys that were hiding. I missed one of my own presents under the Christmas tree as well.
How does that even happen? Would not happen in any of the Christmases we have.
It was later on in the day when life partner Steve went, we were talking about something. Oh, you're missing a Christmas present. Mm. And then there was another one for me on the tree. And then we saw a couple of others that should be for other people there too. So we'll be delivering Christmas presents.
That's quite nice and exciting. I like that. I'm going to be trying to shake off this cold that I think I'm not the only one who's got, because James didn't sound a little bit under the weather earlier on.
Do you think I feel all right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe you're going to come down with it then.
Oh, maybe. I hope so.
I'm going to be trying to shake this cold off. Hopefully, won't be on Poo Watch all week. I don't know. Can you hear me, dog?
Ruff.
Work that out of your system. That's it, really. So that's basically stop being ill, go to work, sieve through poo.
Yeah.
So I'll be looking forward to next week.
Sounds like a fellow I can't wait for the R Week section of next week's podcast. Yeah.
Found it! It's framed on the wall!
Right. So who wants still to come over and play? Who wants to come over and play the game?
Lee Gallagher's on Twitter! Yay!
Oh, when did he join?
Yesterday when you were skiving off work.
Oh, did you not?
I was not skiving off
work. Serious? You didn't know he was on there?
No, I didn't know he was on there.
Yeah.
I was actually asleep nearly all day yesterday.
I might be 2 hours late for the party. Yeah, he's day late.
I'm very much enjoying his series of pictures.
He's
of PJ Holden.
He is just
molesting
his
dog.
He's just as witty on Twitter as he is in real life.
Yeah. Molesting his own dog or PJ?
I think it might have been his dog.
Oh.
There's been quite an enjoyable feud between him and PJ.
Excellent. Ooh. Feuds are always fun.
Although PJ's are so last year. Onesies! That's what it's all about.
Do you think PJ Holden should retire his first name then?
Yeah, he should call himself Onesie Holden.
That sounds like an old-timey Western prostitute's name or something. Onesie Holden. I don't think he should call himself that at all.
How you doing there, cowpoke? I'm Onesie Holden. I'm going to love you a lot.
I'm going to love you for a long duration of time.
Yes. Something about Buku.
We had an early doors contribution a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So we've got at least one other contribution. So thank you to our contributors.
Thank you contributors. You can contribute too by sending a audio review or whatever about comics and stuff of between 2 and 5 minutes to
momcast@gmail.com.
Jesus Christ, well done.
Is that okay?
That's genius.
Do you want it just straight though, yeah?
And it doesn't have to be a review, does it? It can be just if there's
opinion.
Something that's been going on that you're interested in talking about.
Or just say hello.
Freestyle, bit of poetry.
A bit of beat.
Picture
a beat
of a tea
poetry.
Towel.
Yeah, David.
A picture of a tea towel won't really work in an audio file.
Could describe a picture of a tea towel.
Describe a picture. Do a bit of beat poetry about a picture of a tea towel that also relates to narrative, sequential art medium.
Well, you could just send us a picture.
You could talk about how you felt about seeing Scroobius Pip's tweet today about a dog spontaneously orgasming outside a supermarket.
Ooh,
that's the most awful thing I've ever heard.
It was a brilliant tweet. Apparently a dog just had a... orgasmic discharge outside.
How do you even know?
Spontaneously. Because he saw it do it.
Is that not... Would it not just look like a wee?
As Victor Lewis Smith White has said, yes, but white wee-wee.
a male doggy. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking, James. Well, look at me like that.
Maybe I was just being sexist. I thought, automatically, it must have been a male dog.
Was that the Camp Daleks? Was that it on Victor Lewis Smith's programme?
I don't know.
White Wee Wee. Anyone remember Victor Lewis Smith's TV programme?
He upset me. I was watching a countdown video thing that he had done that Steve shared with me earlier today on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was very mean about Roy Walker. And I love Roy Walker.
Victor Lewis Smith's still going, is he?
No, I think it was old.
Oh.
I was watching a brilliant countdown clip.
Right?
It was brilliant.
If you know what happened to Victor Lewis Smith, do let us know. Send us an email to
mumcast@gmail.com.
Or just DM me.
And if you want to talk to us or ask us any questions or say or leave any comments or anything, you can either leave them on the site or get in touch with any of us at Twitter, or you can just send us an email at
mumcast@gmail.com.
Oh, please leave something on iTunes, please. I'm begging you, man, because it's good. And other people, like they say on Blast Shields Down, it will help other people find our ramshackled excuse for a podcast.
Oh, and that's something. There was an issue with the feed on iTunes. I think it was only on iTunes.
Yeah.
And you might have to just refresh your subscribe again. I'm sorry about that. I don't know how to fix it though.
And I don't know if you're having trouble downloading this, how you're going to hear us ask you.
They might wonder. Might
be listening on the site.
Yeah, exactly.
Might be. True.
So subscribe to us as well. You can do that on your phone or on a number of different things. You don't have to rely on iTunes, although we do love iTunes.
Yeah.
We can go. We don't have to keep belabouring this. We're not very good at the whole pimping
thing. That's true.
Should we say goodbye? Thank you for listening, listeners.
Bye.
It wouldn't happen in another world. It couldn't have happened to a nicer planet. Happened in another world, so don't pretend to care when you don't care. Ten years to sleep in the queue for the late night bus with all of us. Breakfast television is the biggest decision I've made in the last decade. It wouldn't happen in another world. Just don't pretend to care when you don't care.
Just taken this and decided I'm going to say
it's yours. It's okay. They're your words, James.
These words are my own from my arse. I take it you've got some spinning orders to do.
It's okay. I'm gonna edit the hell out of
it. You're gonna take out all my sexism.
Yes, I'm gonna take out nearly all of James's bit on that.